Before we begin, let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bear testimony. First, let's turn to a verse. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. And it reads, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." And the reason I wanted to begin with this verse is because I feel like this is something that describes me for most of my first 3 years at college, and because I think that this is something many of us relate to, that many of us struggle with. So I began at the University of Arizona in the fall semester of 2011, and academics have always been something that comes more naturally to me. So going into my freshman year, I suddenly found myself with free time, and more free time. And at the same time, this was also the first time I really, really experienced extended periods of time away from my family. So the freedom that came from that, combined with the abundance of free time I had on my hands, allowed me to pursue the things that I wanted to do. And I don't know how many of you will relate to this, but it was at this time that I really began to look for something to define myself, something I would be able to call my own, and something that I would make part of my identity. And of course, you know, the church tells us, and God tells us, and many of those around us tell us to be a Christian. But the world tells us you can be anything, right? And it's all too happy to provide alternatives for us to explore. And so I wasn't satisfied by the answers I've been given by the church, by God, by my parents growing up, so I tried looking for my own. And I mainly turned to media for my answer, which unsurprisingly led to heavy media addiction. I would jump from one problem to another. There was a lot of illegal video streaming. There was pirating, music, and games, which stopped when I received a cease and desist letter from the DCMA, among other things. The one thing I really eventually settled on, though, was Japanese media, and that includes anime manga and novels and games and communities and even the language. And this addiction, in conjunction with a weakening faith and my struggle with lust, brought my spirituality to the lowest it has ever been in my life. And throughout this time, I kept a habit of every once in a while I would chronicle how I was feeling at the time in a poem or in a journal or in a letter to the future me. And as I was thinking about what I should testify on, I actually went back and read some of what I wrote in the past. And there were a few moments of, you know, wow, I wrote that. But there were also many moments of, I really remember how I felt back then, or that was a really dark time. So I'd like to share two of these writings with you to sort of help you understand where I was standing going through this period of my life. And the first is titled What I Want, and it's dated February 24, 2012 at 3:42 a.m. And it reads, "What do I want? It's difficult to say, really. I know what I'm supposed to want. And the truth is, I know that it's the best. But then, at the same time, this kind of knowledge is kind of dead. It's more like theory, not practice. At the same time, other than this, there isn't anything that I'm particularly attracted to. Of course, I want to be productive and stuff, hence the trying to not play around as much. Sort of. But then I also noticed that I like to lose myself in various forms of entertainment. I guess a large part of me wishes that I lived in a different world, a different universe, with different rules. With magic, with romance, where the good always prevails, where fairy tales come true, where there are mysteries and interesting things and too many good things. That's the kind of world I wish for, and I can find it through books, games, movies. As long as I keep reading, playing, or watching, I don't have to deal with the problems of the real world. What I should do about my future. Other things I need to worry about. Some of it boils down to avoiding God, I think. I think I'm a bit apprehensive, and right now I'm feeling a bit depressed because I didn't do so well today. I'm trying to look for a bright future, but what do I really want to do? So that was the first one, and here's part of What I Want 3. And it's a series, so... and then this one is dated March 14th, 2013, 1:47 a.m. So a little over a year after the first one. And this one is addressed to myself. It's a letter to me in the future, if that makes sense. So keep that in mind when I'm reading it, otherwise it might be kind of weird. Okay, so it reads, "As you might imagine, this past year after NYTS has just been a huge downward spiral. I don't think I've heard a sermon in weeks since I just sleep straight through service, and honestly, church is a burden, if anything. I barely talk to anyone anymore. Know who keeps me company now? The internet. How do I feel? The internet understands you. There is somebody on the net that is like you, that has the same hobbies, the same weird interests, who can speak to you, talk to you like they understand. This is the most appealing part, common interests. So I spend a lot of time on forums, on blogs. Then I spend a lot of time reading random stuff, watching random stuff, gaming, etc. Literally 95% of my time is wasted. I don't even really feel anything when I think about that. No, I actually choose not to think about it, because if I really did think about it, I might go crazy, or have a nervous breakdown, or something. My life's a mess. A big, heaping, stinking mess. So I often ask myself, what are you doing with your life now? And the answer is always, I have no idea. I think I'm wasting it and not doing anything about it. And I realized that if I were reading a story about my life, I would hate it. I would be exactly the type of character I hate most. Indecisive, unable to commit to anything, even when the right choice is obvious and right in front of his face. I'm going to end it here for now, but as an answer to the question, what do I want right now? I want to put my life in order. The opening words of the hymn, Love Lifted Me, read, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. And I think that this was really me during that time. I believe that God knew me. He knew I have a foolish heart, and he knew that at the time, I wasn't willing to learn any other way except the hard way. So he let me go, as the father let the prodigal son go. And just like that son, after trying all different sorts of things, after wasting my time, after wasting his grace, and ending up sinking deep into a hole I dug for myself, I knew that this was not the life that I wanted to live. But I didn't know how I was supposed to change anything. But God knows our hearts, and he has his timing, and he had decided that it was time for a change in my life. I went into the summer of my third NYTS with a heart full of bitterness. I was bitter about where my life was. I was bitter about how weak I felt I was. I was bitter that it seemed like God hadn't been doing anything to help me. But at the beginning of that summer, God sent a brother to encourage me, and the brother told me, try again. And looking back, I understand that this was God's hand, his helping hand reaching out to find me in my time of darkness. And by his grace, these few words entered my heart of stone and planted in it a small, small seed of hope that I had thought long lost. And that NYTS was the beginning of my spiritual renewal. And through my prayers that summer, God encouraged me to choose abundant life, to choose freedom, and to choose him. But I decided I wasn't ready to cut away the chains that bound me. And so God told me that as long as this is the case, I would be unable to move forward in my faith and would instead spend my time wandering in the wilderness. And that's what I experienced in the year following NYTS. So now let's fast forward to CYSC of last year. And this one week, the last week of 2014, is one that I really hold very dear to my heart because I consider it one of the most important turning points in my life. I remember a few different parts of the event. I remember there were mornings like ice, but I also remember hearts that burned with fire in the quiet hours of the morning. I remember there were moments of tiredness, but I also remember lively moments of laughter and conversation with brothers and sisters. Most of all, I remember the one heart that we praised God together with in our hymnal worship and the year-end fellowship that we held on New Year's Eve. Last year, we sang hymn 471, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And the way that we sang it, united in voice and in spirit, is something I think will remain with me for the rest of my life. And especially through this past year, in 2015, our worship and the lyrics of the hymn I've carried with me to remind me and encourage me. At the year-end fellowship last year, there was an activity where we put one sticky note, and on that sticky note, we would have a word or phrase to describe the year 2014. And then I remember that quite a few of us wrote negative things describing what our past year had been. And then on the next sticky note, we wrote our hope or our resolution for the year 2015. And I remember that I wrote, I'd Rather Have Jesus, on the second sticky note. And then following that, I remember that we sang hymn 441, I Am Resolved. So the lyrics of that hymn read, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. And so I would mark this moment in time as the moment that God saw my heart and he began to work great things, great changes in my life. And it was like I had been walking for a very long time on a path, and it felt like the scenery around me had been the same for a long time. So sort of as if I was walking through a forest and all I had seen for a long time were trees. But suddenly, the view before me began to open up, and I was able to see a very different path before me. A path that was different from the one I had been walking before. Following that CYSE, my life began to change in the ways that I spent my time, in the things that I thought, in the goals of my life. And over the summer, God really showed himself to me through the events, through my prayers. And we actually sang I'd Rather Have Jesus again at NYTS, which was a really good reminder and encouragement for me. So as a conclusion, I'd like to share my reflections on my journey so far, on what I've learned or what I feel that God has been trying to teach me. The first of these is that we can't run away from our problems. Eventually, whatever they are, they catch up to us. And oftentimes, if it's something that we've been trying to avoid for a long time, they'll be uglier and harder to deal with than if we had faced them earlier. If we had faced them on God's terms, if He had been there to help us. And I hope that we can all take it to heart when I say that drowning our struggles, our pain, our loneliness in the things of this world doesn't work, because I've tried. And in the end, these things only serve to widen the void in our hearts. Second is we will be unable to improve or move forward in our spirituality for as long as we refuse to cut away the things that cause us to sin, the things that draw us away from God. And there's no compromising in this, because as long as we make excuses to ourselves, make excuses to God, as long as we are wavering between two masters, we always end up defaulting away from God. And that's just the way things work, because God knows our heart and God wants our heart. He wants all of our heart. He doesn't settle for anything less. And so He always gives us chances. And I think that maybe for some of us, CYSC this year is a chance. When I was going through this, I often felt like there were times when I stood at a crossroads. And these crossroads usually fell at events. Because that was the time when I was spiritually revived, when I had the strength to choose to move forward. And today, we may also be standing at a crossroads, where behind us is the old path we've walked. And before us is a fork. On one hand is the continuation of the path that we've been walking on. And it's a path that we know. It's a path that we're comfortable with. And probably it is a path that is not going to lead us where we want to go. It may be wide, it may be easy to walk. But we should really ask ourselves, is this the one we want to follow? There's another path, a path that's narrow, it's rugged and steep, and it looks harder. And maybe it goes up a hill, it goes up a mountain, and we can't see what's on the other side. So we don't entirely know what to expect. But there are people who have walked before us who tell us that there are good things waiting on the other side. There is a better life, and it's where we're meant to be. And God always gives us chances to walk, to choose. But if we always choose not to move forward, if we lack the courage to walk in faith, then God tells us we will be like the Israelites. We will wander in the wilderness until either we learn to obey or we perish, and our bodies will line the wilderness. Third, my brothers and sisters, do you believe in miracles? Miracles of impossible healings, miracles of dreams and visions, miracles of close calls, of almost accidents. But I think that sometimes what may be the greater miracle is when God turns our hearts to Him. And as we are stuck in our cycle of sin, regret, and defeat, we may often lose faith that God really has the power to change us. I mentioned earlier that there was a period of time in my life when I was very bitter towards God. And part of this was because I felt like I had already done the things that I was supposed to do. I had prayed, I had read the Bible, I cultivated, And God, what more do you want from me? But the things that I did weren't mixed with faith. And because of how long I had struggled, I didn't really believe that the answers, the pastors, the counselors, the sermons, that those answers were really right. That if you pray and read the Bible, if you cultivate yourself, then there will be something different waiting for you. But today, I stand here before you to tell you that there can be miracles when you believe. And if any of us feel stuck or weak or hopeless, Jesus Christ can save you. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I hope I can encourage each one of us that God can really change us. He has the power to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh if we are willing to believe in Him, if we are willing to step forward with faith. Then finally, one last thing that I am still struggling to learn is patience. Because the journey that we walk on is not one day, one month, even one year, but it is our lifetime. And I think part of the other reason I became bitter is that I did not have the spiritual vision to wait on God. I was not willing to continue in what was right and wait to see what the results are. But I think often our faith is like that seed that is recorded in the Bible, that we plant it and we water it and it grows when we're not looking, when we don't know how. Or it is like when we are hiking and the scenery is the same for a long time, but eventually, if you turn your head back towards where you began, then we will see that we're actually much farther away, and we've really come a long way. And so every day counts. And it is these small moments, these small accumulations that will really build our faith, not just the events that we come here to. And so I hope that through what I've shared, that we can be encouraged, and that in the future, we can all come back and say that I stand before you today because God has worked a miracle in me. May all the honor, glory, and praise be unto God's holy name.
Thank God, we heard two wonderful testimonies. The time is supposed to end at 4:25. I don't know if I should say conclusion. Okay. So I'll be a little. We're gonna be a little late. Okay. First, we heard about Sister Joyce Chan's testimony, and she testified she left Taiwan, came to U.S. And I don't know, many of you still sometimes live with your parents. For some people who always stay in Taiwan to go to a foreign country and learn a new language and kind of a little far from the church, it's kind of a little lonely, okay? And if I thank God, in United States, 1.5 hours is not that far. The U.S. is big. 1.5 hours. When I was working, I drive 1 hour, just in Los Angeles, one drive 1 hour to go to work. That's the way it is in United States. So we learned that, please, brother, sister, if you're going to study somewhere, find a church nearby and fellowship with brothers and sisters. That will help us pray together. We'll receive comfort, encourage each other, okay? So that's the first one. Second, brother Jeffrey Tai testified his struggles. He tried to find the identity in life, his goal in life. And of course, we all like him too, most of us, 99%. We heard the standard answer, but we want to say, find something else. There may be something else there. And we always learn the things in the hard way. But however, sorry to say, this is how we grow. Honestly, I mean, I can tell you what we're supposed to do. And we say, yes, 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 yes. But I have my own desire, my own thing that I want to do. Okay? And this is a growing process for most of people. For me, I can understand, relate to it. When I preach to people, I don't anticipate. I don't tell you just, you must do this. Okay. I know we must. But the thing is, I look back in my life, many times, I know I must, but I don't do. And I need to learn the hard way. And in this life, we cannot avoid, how do you say it, the sins, the temptations. I learned that we must learn to know how to overcome our temptations. I wish everybody was so good, we just tell them and just do it. But oftentimes, as a pastor, I realize that's not the way. And if any one of us are still in sin, okay, don't be despair. Jesus will help us. And let us learn how Jesus is more precious than anything else. And from Brother Jeffrey Tai's testimony, in a way, in the past, he just heard about God. But now, he experienced the emptiness of life, the sinful way of life. And he knew that there's no point to go on to live in that kind of life. And this is something that we must experience ourselves too, must realize. If the earlier we realize, the earlier we live in peace. We truly, how do you say it? We know God better, and we will not suffer so much. And I went through the same thing too. And eventually, I come to this conclusion. In the end, if I had to surrender myself to God completely, remember? The homework is, eventually God will make something happen, and then either we turn to God wholeheartedly, or we perish. So think about this. If sooner or later I go and do it, I must also do it earlier. Because the later I do it, one, I will suffer more. Second, I might perish. And we need to, I know, we suffered, we do it a stupid way, okay? We learn the hard way. We suffer so much. But let us not suffer in vain. Knowing that these things, it gives us pain, it gives us emptiness. But let's look for something better. And only when we come back to God, we'll find what truly means to have life, to have Jesus with us. Let's pray in silence. Amen. Let's take a break for 10 minutes.